So let us continue with our studies. Today's Torah portion is named after one of Israel's worst enemies, Balak. Even the meaning of the name Balak means destroyer. From the beginning, his name gives us understanding that we have an enemy who has only one desire, to destroy us, to bring us to emptiness. You will find this portion to be very instructive and to have a number of very important lessons for us. Fortunately, I have decided to save some of them for the next year. So the topic is I want to focus on today, I'm calling, where is your dwelling place? Where is the dwelling place? And the key verse to introduce this topic is found in Psalm 91. So let us open Psalm 91, verse 1 and verse 2. Psalm 91, verse 1 and verse 2. He who dwells in the shelter of Elyon will abide in the shadow of Shaddai. I will say of Adonai, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Where are you dwelling? That seems like an easy question to answer, perhaps even a bit naive. Well, of course, some of us here today live in the United States of America. Some of us live in the city of Jacksonville, which is located on the American continent, on the planet Earth, in the solar system, which is part of the Milky Way galaxy somewhere in the universe. It's very simple, and everything is very clear. But this is only one part of the truth, our earthly, worldly life, where our bodies live. There is another very important part of our being, our spiritual identity. So, where does your spirit dwell? My question is really in regard to that. So, he who lives under the shelter, roof, cover of the Almighty, in the shadow, in its protection, under the watchful guard of Almighty God, finds peace and protection for himself. There is only one way to live under the protection of the Almighty. We already read it from Psalm 91, verse 2. I will say of Adonai, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Truth is that our faith, our trust, should be in the Lord and only Him alone. Our life under His direction, that is where we must dwell. This is our dwelling place. And that is a dwelling place that I wish to focus on today. This is what lies in my heart and what I wish to call us all to. This is what really deep in me. Because it is there, in the shadow of the Almighty, that our spirit must dwell. This is our place to be, to have dwelling place. I have a question for you. Did you know you have dual citizenship? That's right. And if you think your primary citizenship in US or Ukrainian or Philippine, you should consider Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. It is said here, for our citizenship is in heaven, and from there we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. Our real citizenship in heaven. Another place of scripture is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, 5, and verse 6. Ephesians 2, 4, 5, and 6. But God was rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Messiah. By grace you have been saved. And verse 6. And he raised us, already raised us. We already risen in the Messiah Yeshua. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua. And this is for us today. He is with us and we are with him. This is where our real spiritual dwelling is. This is where the Lord has placed us, already placed us, seated right next to his Son, Yeshua, in heaven, in heavenly places. Of course, in our bodies, we still live here on this earth, but in the Spirit, in our faith, in our hope, we have been raised from the dead, awarded a heavenly citizenship, and called to live as legal citizens in our new heavenly dwelling place under the cover of God. This is our place to live, under the cover of God. Have you ever heard someone say he couldn't be two places at once? Perhaps he doesn't have a heavenly citizenship. Why is this citizenship so important now? What difference does it make for us today? Well, this is the most important question that we must ask ourselves today. I believe it's from all my heart. This is the most important question for today. The simple fact is that everything depends on your response to this question. Your life, your ideas, your interests, your behavior, and ultimately, your future. A person who lives only in this world, whose only frame of reference is all the things that fill this world, that person is destined to own only the ideas and values of this world. And his interests are confined to this temporary life, to his own prosperity and happiness only. He's like Lucy, the little girl in the cartoon, saying, "I just want that's what's mine, that's all. All I want is what I've got coming to me." Of course, we must take care of ourselves, for sure. This is truth. And be aware of what is happening around us. After all, we have been called to be salt to the world, to influence positive change in our world and in those who live around us. But if our primary interest is in our earthly life, its problems, its misplaced values, then we are living below our privileges. We are, of all people, the most unhappy. How clearly Rabbi Shaul, or Apostle Paul, he made this point in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. This is about people who trust in the Lord only in this life, only for this life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. If we have hoped in Messiah for this life alone, we are to be pitied more than all people. If we have hoped in Messiah for this life only. I can tell you truth with all my heart. In this earthly life, we will not find absolute justice and order. There will never be perfection. Why? Because all have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God, all of us. And therefore we are called to live under the cover of the Most High, in his values, his plans, and in trusting in him. This is our calling. This is our citizenship. This is our dwelling place. Isn't that what today's Torah chapter is about? Today we look at a terrible example set by Balaam, a false prophet Balaam, who had a great spiritual gift of prophecy, but out of desire to prosper and receive an unholy wealth, he decided to use his gift and his knowledge of the spiritual world to harm the people of God. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, we can find this description. 2 Peter 2:15. They have abandoned the straight way. They have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. Although the desire to be successful and prosperous is a good desire, if one must walk the path of wickedness to achieve that goal, then this path will lead to death and destruction. So let us take a look at Israel's calling and journey. Israel was called to wander the desert. It's in very cruel and difficult living conditions. But they were called at the same time to dwell under the protection of the Almighty in the wilderness. This is how the Lord Himself speaks about it. It is in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4 and 5. How interesting. It is a very interesting place of scripture. Deuteronomy 29, 4 and 5. Here is the words of the Lord towards Israel. I led you 40 years in the wilderness. Yeah, it's a wilderness. It's a difficult place. It is not easy to be there, but let us read what's next. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. Bread you have not eaten, and wine and strong drink you have not drunk, in order that you may know that I am Adonai, your God. What great miracles accompanied the sons of Israel on their way through the wilderness. And as long as the people lived under the protection of God, in His will and His calling, nothing bad could happen to them, because they were under protection of the Lord in His dwelling place. God gave them water from the rock, fed them with heavenly manna, protected them from enemies who were much stronger than them. They walked the earth, yeah, but there was God's supernatural presence and protection around them. They seemed to be in another dimension, under the shadow of the Lord, in the wilderness, at the same time in the heavenly places with the Lord. But once they departed from beneath God's cover, from beneath His protection, once they no longer lived by the values of the Torah and God's revelations, once they began to live the life and follow the ideas of the nations who surrounded them, diseases, problems, enemies, and death came upon them. Our Torah portion begins with the fact that Balak was afraid of the Israelites. He heard about the great victories of the Israelites over two powerful kings, and he was afraid, realizing that he could not resist the Israelites. But the fact is, the Moabites descended from Lot, Abraham's nephew. The Balak should have remembered that his Moabite people are related to the people of Abraham. They were relatives. They were family, mishpacha. And he should have rejoiced rather than been afraid of the Jews. In desperation, Balak tried to call the famous false prophet Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse the Israelites for him. And without retelling the story, so because we can read this Torah chapter, I want to read a few verses from the Torah chapter. It is chapter 24, book of Numbers, started with verse 2 through verse 9. Numbers 24, 2 through 9. Here is the false prophet Balaam, who came to curse, but the Lord changed everything. Lifting up his eyes, Balaam saw Israel dwelling by tribes. The Ruach Elohim came over him. Verse 5. And here's his prophecy. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, and your dwellings, O Israel! Like valleys they are spread out, like gardens beside a river, like elas planted by Adonai, like cedars beside the waters. Water will flow from his buckets, his seed by abundant water. His king will be greater than Agag, his kingdom will be exalted. God is bringing him out of Egypt, like the strong horns of a wild ox. He devours nations hostile to him. He will crush their bones, his arrows will pierce them. He crouches like a lion or a lioness. Who would rouse him? He who blesses you will be blessed, and he who curses you will be cursed. What a wonderful picture we see in this scripture, that despite the hatred of the enemy and his desire to destroy Jewish people, the Lord looks upon his chosen with a heart full of love and compassion and confidence in them. You also are beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. You are very special and very loved by him. You see, despite all the attempts of the enemies to curse and destroy, when God is with us, then we are in his plans, under his protection. We live in a supernatural world, world of his protection and his presence. So let's read a little later the second part of this story, Numbers chapter 25. Let us open Numbers chapter 25. And remember, the same people of Israel, the same desert, the same circumstances in this desert. Everything the same, but something happened with the faith, with the values of the Jewish people at the same time. Israel stopped living under the protection of God, becoming like the Moabite people. They thought that Balak and his people would love the Jews and take care of them. It is in chapter 25. They thought that in the desert of this life they found real and loving friends. They thought that now, when we stopped following this God and his principles, his Torah, and began a normal worldly life, as all the normal people around us live, now they will appreciate and respect us, and everything will be very good for us. How naive were they called, these beloved children of God. How wrong they were, exchanging their heavenly Father for the temporary pleasures of this world. And please remember the name of this Torah chapter, Destroyer. The fact is that Balak and his type was, is, and always will be an enemy with only one desire, to exterminate people of God. This is who he is. This is our enemy. Balak realized that as long as God is with Israel, as long as Israel is in the dwelling place with the Lord, and as long as his protection is over his people, no one can prevail against Israel. So Balak hired the prophet, false prophet Balaam, to curse the people of Israel, so that the Lord will remove his protection. But when that plan failed, Balak moved to plan B, launching another, even more canyon plan of destruction. In Numbers chapter 31, verse 16, we can read about this plan. Numbers 31, 16. They are the ones, because of Balaam's advice, who caused Bnei Israel to be unfaithful to Adonai in the matter of Baal Peor. This is false god. So that the plague was on the community of Adonai. Balak followed the advice of Balaam seducing the sons of Israel into fornication with the women of Moab, and through these into a covenant with the false god Baal Peor. So let's read this story in the chapters number 25, verse 1 through verse 3. This is the awful and difficult story to read, but it's important for us to remember. While Israel was staying in Shittim, the people began to have immoral sexual relations with women from Moab. Then they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods. So the people were eating and bowing down before their gods. When Israel became bound to Baal Peor, the anger of Adonai grew hot against Israel. And verse 9. However, 24,000 were dead because of the plague. Balak's plan worked. When the Jewish people left their spiritual dwelling place and became like everyone else, began to live in sin, began the worship of alien gods, defeat came. The sons of Israel found favor in the temporary pleasure of this world and exchanged God's call on their lives for lives of temporary pleasure. As a result, 24,000 Jews lost their lives. Someone may say, but it was a long time ago. The false prophet Balaam is dead. What about us? How it is important for us today? So let's look at the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verses 12 through verses 17. It is about us. It is for us. It is to us. Let us remember this place of scripture. Revelation 2, 12 through 17. To the angel of the Messiah's community, and please remember, to the angel of Messiah's community. So it is to us. It is for us. To the angel of Messiah's community in Pergamum, write, thus says the one who has the sharp two-edged sword, I know where you live, where Satan's throne is, yet you continue to hold firm to my name, and you did not deny your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you, where Satan resides. Verse 14. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who was teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before Bnei Israel, to eat food sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent then. If not, I will come to you soon and make war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Ruach is saying to Messiah's communities. And verse 17, it's a very important verse. Let him hear what the Ruach is saying to Messiah's communities. And we are his community, Messiah's community. To the one who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and written on the stone a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. I would like to repeat this story. This congregation in Pergamum was able to survive through terrible persecutions. They were successful in growing congregation right in the midst of Satan's presence, his throne. Outward pressure wasn't been able to destroy people of God because they lived in the supernatural ground. They walked with the Lord under his protection. Satan wasn't been able to destroy them. They dwell in the shelter of Elion. They abide in the shadow of Adonai, the community, Messiah's community. But something invisible began to develop inside of the Pergamon congregation. The plan B from unrighteous King Balak, and this was much more dangerous for them. Balaam's teaching is the way to defeat God's people, and it is a teaching that permits the sin of fornication or idolatry among God's people or any other sins. Today we are faced with the same principle that was in ancient Israel. When we live by faith and the principles of the kingdom of God, we have the protection of the Lord over us. When we leave the ways of the Lord and choose worldly principles, then we open ourselves up to the attack of our enemy. But I would like to finish with this place of scripture, Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. Please take it to your heart. Remember it. Pray by this place. He who dwells in the shelter of Elyon will abide in the shadow of Adonai. I will say of Adonai, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Thank you so much for your attention. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing as we normally do at Beth Israel, and when we will return to Eric and Anya's home for a final song. So let us pray together. Yevrechacha Adonai v'ishmerecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha, Issa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.